Welcome back to the Real God for Real People podcast, where we talk through real situations that we struggle with every day that require a real God, one that desires to live in community with us and one that's left us his word to be able to live by. But sometimes we struggle with where we can apply that word. So I'm excited about jumping into this week's podcast with my sis Morgana and talking through how sometimes we as a congregation fall into the temptation of worshiping our pastor, and sometimes our pastor allows themselves to fall into it as well. Let's jump on into it this week. All right, and welcome back to Real God, the number four, Real People. I'm back with my big sis, little sis, Morgana, and we're just talking through what is the pastoral role and how should we walk in that well. Let's start this off and caveat by neither one of us are ordained pastors. So if that is a problem before you listen in, hey, you might want to skip this one, but we are coming from that.
Right.
Pastors and missionary kids, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So we just want to start there. Both of us have been in the church all of our lives, so we are not novices, but at the same time frame, we are not functioning as ordained pastors, you know, right now. And, you know, some of our denominations, Morgana might not be an ordained pastor, period. But, you know, that's a whole nother subject. We'll get into that another day.
Yeah.
But
whole nother time.
There we go. But, Morgana, how you feeling? You ready to do this thing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here on the pod and ready to get into this deep topic. So, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So, as a whole, we both were just thinking through, hey, are there time frames in which we should naturally go to our shepherd, our pastor? And are there some things that even though our pastor is leading us spiritually, that we should be sure we are going to God about first? And I think any pastor that's in an ordained role or just functioning in a calling would agree that there are some things that even our pastors don't have the answers to. And if we lean on them individually, we'll miss the mark because guess what, guys, ladies, they are human. They are not superhuman. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through them that is coming and helping us to be equipped in the faith. So with this conversation, our start off point was, hey, what is a pastor? And so Morgana, what do you think about this when you hear pastor? What do you usually think?
I do believe it is a leader of the head leader of a crowd, a congregation, things of that sort. So, yeah, that is leading others to Christ. Let me just make sure I'm clear on that.
You're good.
Leading down a dark path.
Not leading them to things that ain't got nothing to do with Christ. We will not call you a pastor in this room. You are something. No, man.
You're not a Christian pastor. Yeah. No, a leader that is leading others to Christ.
That's it. And I think, too, with me, right, when I think of pastor, what I am thinking about, there's a scripture. I think it's either James or Peter, and you guys don't quote me on this, because if anybody knows me personally, Shoddy Shah is not the best scripture memorization person. There is a scripture
somewhere.
It's somewhere. You know, I'll Google in a minute.
Bible.
You know, I will say that was Google, and I remember where it was. You know, but there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, hey, having a holy ambition to be a teacher, but an understanding that the role of a teacher, and I would even say an elder, sometimes these are used somewhat interchangeably, is held more accountable to the Lord for what he teaches than just a member. So it's basically the author of that book warning people, hey, there's nothing wrong with having the ambition to teach and to lead God's people, but understand there's a different level of accountability. So when I think of pastor, What I think of is someone that is charged by both the congregation and by the Lord to lead God's local body of believers and to equip them to do it well. And so I pulled something online. It's called lifeonlife.org. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't do a heavy amount of research, but it seems pretty solid from what I'm reading so far. And it says, hey, the pastor is the leader slash equipper of the body, right? A lot of times, pastor and elder will be used interchangeably with shepherd, understanding that the lead shepherd is Christ. Just as in Ephesians 5, it says, hey, the husband is to model Christ in how he leads, being sacrificial in how he loves his wife, just as Christ loved the church. And the pastor is first, he's really first ordinated and also equipped by God, but he answers to Christ. And then, you know, the body answers to him. But even in some denomination, that doesn't mean there's no accountability. He is accountable to God and he's accountable to the body. And if his teaching is out of pocket and not lining up with the scriptures, the local church not only has the right, but has the responsibility of holding him accountable and dismissing him, I would say, if they need to, right? Yeah. And so the word I love to use for pastor that I got from seminary a while back is under shepherd. Christ is the lead shepherd. And a pastor is the under shepherd, basically being,
you better preach.
Being a steward of what God has called him to lead.
Yes.
So when he's speaking and teaching, he should lead in that power as well as that freedom, understanding. Man, I'm just teaching the word. So if you're upset, you're not really mad with me. You're mad with God.
You preaching. Know? Keep on. That's a word. It's a word.
It's funny. But no. And so while me and Morgana was thinking about the show notes for this one, we were thinking about, hey, what are different ways we should hear from God? And so I'll kind of start us off with that. I believe the different ways we hear from God, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into more of that in a second, is we should hear from him through his word, through the scriptures. We should hear from him through his spirit, sometimes audibly. And some folks may disagree with that. It might be a pain point. And sometimes through creation itself, right? And then thirdly, I believe the Holy Spirit can use other like-minded believers to speak life into the hearts. And he does through the pastor, right? That would be a perfect example. Through the hearts to help equip the saints. But I love the scripture that says, hey, if you have question marks about prophecy or about a spirit, you know, test the spirit by the spirit.
Right.
God is never going to speak truth that is not faithful to his word.
Yeah.
And if someone speaks truth, or you hear from someone and they say they're speaking to you from God, but it don't line up with the scriptures, I'm going to just be real. Mm-mm. Their prophetic gifting may be off. I'm not even going to get into whether they're a prophet. I'm just going to say their gifting is off-centered. Blame Shoddy Shot if you're mad because you can't find me anyway. But the ones of y'all who know me, if you give up my address, we gonna fight. I'm just gonna let you know now. It's gonna be very ungodly.
Yeah.
Fight. I'm
just playing. Yeah. And
what you got?
I was gonna say, I also just tell people, even if somebody is speaking over you, I tell them to always confirm it with the Lord. Even if it's me, hey, confirm it, because who am I? You know what I'm saying? Literally, who am I? I'm not God. Mm-hmm. And I let my friends know anytime I speak over them or I just talk with them, you know, just giving my advice or opinion on a certain topic, I still say, hey, you might want to confirm this with the Lord. Definitely make sure you confirm it with him, just to double check. Because even though us as followers of Christ, we don't want anything to come out of our mouth in vain. Because that's always a disappointment. Has it happened? Yes, it has.
Hey.
But that's why I always tell people to make sure you confirm it with the Lord. And I know, just knowing God, that he will definitely, like you said, he'll confirm it through his own spirit and also through his word. So mm-hmm. you do have backup that's for it. Sure. That's it. And I do believe it keeps coming up until you're like, mm-hmm. okay, I get it. You know?
Yep. Yep.
So yeah. He gonna make sure that message gets to you. If he want to give you a message, oh, he gonna make sure, honey, that's don't worry.
He gonna make sure you get it. Don't worry about him getting it to you. He got that supremacy. He gonna get it to you.
Right.
No, well, I'm with you.
Yeah. One thing I know about my Jesus Christ, he gonna get it to you, honey.
And yeah. I think it led us to like even a second question that we wanted to talk through is, hey, how, and this may be less on the pastor side, but more on the congregational side, and we can jump back into the pastoral side in a second. Yeah. How and when do you determine whether you need to take something to God first before you take it to anyone, including your pastor? You know, what's your thoughts on that, Morgana?
That is good. Man, how do we take it?
How do we confirm when we need to take it to God first? Like, even for me, there are some things that I tell my younger brothers that I mentee all the time. There are some things in which, like, I have a council of mature believers that is some mm-hmm. of them, a lot of them are pastors, some of them are not, that when I literally leaned on them today with something with me and my wife, but when I run into some type of obstacle, I try to glean from their wisdom. You know, these are spiritual guys that I know speak life into me and will keep me accountable. But there are time frames in which I hold before I even speak to them about things, because I realized, man, I haven't really invited the Lord into it. And I should honor him enough to at least get his input on this thing before I look for somebody else's.
And I think that's a good point just right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all stop and think about, did I consult God about this first? Or am I immediately going to the human body to get the answer, right? Not to say that God can't use them, right? But there comes, I do believe it comes a point where nobody has the answer but God.
That's
you see what I'm saying? And so... that's why I myself have begun to stop, because I used to rush to, you know, the, my mentors or the pastor's wife, and I'm running to them real quick and talking, asking questions. And God was like, hey, I, you know, and I'm wondering why, or it comes to where the phones are silent. Nobody's picking up your phone call. Best friends, close friends, your mama, your daddy, nobody is picking up the phone because God's trying to get your individual attention and undivided attention. If I'm saying that right.
Undivided.
You got undivided. Thank you. I think it's
you
know me knowing two languages. Sometimes I struggle knowing Portuguese.
Oh no.
See, what had happened was raised in a different country.
There she go, telling all the business.
Undivided.
Oh my goodness.
Undivided attention, of course. And so, we definitely have to make sure that we seek ye first.
Not that KJV. Okay, you better spit that KJV. They don't even know about that. But they're going to learn today.
They're going to learn today.
I love it. I love it so much. But no, I think you're right. I think the thing that we have to remember, and that's one of those moments where I'm grateful for some of the seminary exposure I've been able to have. Mm. One thing that is agreed upon in some of the circles that we've run into is the priesthood of the believer. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for those that haven't heard this terminology before, the priesthood of the believer is basically coming from the aspect that when we, according to scripture, become believers, become a believer in Christ Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if we think about the writings of Paul, Peter, and James, they clearly tell us, Paul literally is telling one of the early churches, hey, do you not know that the same power that brought Christ from the grave lives in you. Now, of course, when Paul's doing this scripture, the context is he's telling them, hey, if you don't understand that you're joined to Christ by the Holy Spirit, right, the same power that raised him from the dead now lives in you, you can't join that to everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so that was Paul's original context, but he's letting us know that we're given access to God through his Spirit. Yeah. There is to a degree no reason why you cannot access God, and you have to access God through your pastor.
Right. Right.
And so when that's misinterpreted and misconstrued, people misunderstand the access they have to God through the Spirit, and then they bottleneck themselves through their pastor. Yeah. And sometimes it puts the pastor in a bad way because now they're overstretching themselves to minister to this person when really they should just pray first.
Right. Yeah. That you're absolutely right. And that's happened so many times where I'll say this as well. Mm-hmm. I typically now in my walk, because I feel like when we're younger and we're babies, we're still drinking the milk. You know, with God and stuff. Well, not God and stuff. Let me make sure. With the Lord. But you know how you're as a baby,
you're growing
in Christ. You're growing. Yes. Yeah. You just receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and so you don't really know a lot of things. So you do seek that guidance out, and I do believe that's when the time the Lord does use other people, Scripture, and when you start getting a little deeper, then you start really hearing from him through the whole, just by yourself, you know?
Yep.
And I've just learned, like, sometimes now God will just like stop me in my steps before I call anybody. He'd be like, wait a minute. Like I'm here. So right here, ask me, right. You don't need to be asking anybody about this question, you know? Too much access is too much access, you know?
That's it. You want
it. So anyways, I just make sure that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, God. What do you say about this? What do you think about this? What do you think I should do? And that's your way of dedicating your life daily, picking up your cross and following Christ and just listening to what he is saying to you on a daily basis, giving your whole day to him, not just a couple of things, giving your all, you know what I'm saying? That's that all, that's that trusting in him. That's that putting everything in his hands type of deal. It's not always let's run to the pastor. Let's run to the pastor's wife and put that weight on them when God's like, hey, I can actually carry your burden. Duh, that's why I'm here. Yeah.
And I think sometimes what I've learned is when we have to learn that lesson the hard way, you can even find it. The Lord will be sure that somehow or another, you're not always able to access that person, that pastor, that minister, whomever, to force you into going to him for yourself, right? And doing the work of having a personal relationship with the Lord. And it's one of those things where you're transitioning, like you were saying, from that milk to meat to now building a personal relationship with the Lord. And the pastor is actually able to walk out the role of being the lead equipper.
Yeah.
Seeing where the Lord can be taking you and providing not only opportunity, but also mentorship and feedback on how you can do it in a way that honors the Lord well.
Yeah.
You know, because you can have the best intention, but if you aren't like able to have honest feedback from someone else. Hey, you did really good on that note that you sung last week, but hey, what was with the outfit? You know, that seemed a little bit more like you were trying to get the attention on you versus God, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And trusting that equipper, that lead shepherd enough to be like, you know what? They're saying this in love. Let me really take this to heart and evaluate my own self, you know, well enough to be like, yeah, I might have missed the mark. But even with that, some thoughts I had is when should we look actually to the pastor for counsel? You know, what are some scenarios where it makes perfect sense to go to our lead or, you know, family pastor or whomever, lead shepherd, for counsel, because that's, you know, what they're here for and that's how they desire to serve.
That's tough. I almost want to say when you're highly confused.
Yeah.
Our God is not a God of confusion.
That's it.
And I do believe that they can, leadership can refocus you and say, hey, did you look at the word to see what the Lord said, you know, and just kind of take you step by step, give you the tools and, give you the tools that you'll need in order to properly dissect whatever situation or decision that you're having to make. I do believe that they're very helpful in that aspect, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I think for me, I lean myself more in my personal life now to looking for pastoral counsel when there's a blind spot to something that I can't see.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. When there is a blinder and I know either my heart's in the right space or something doesn't feel right. It may not be sinful, but it's off-putting. I look to my pastor to be like, yeah. Like an example would be at our church, I'm the student director there. And so they're kind of helping me transition to see what it looks like to be an elder of a church. For my folks that are members of our church, when I say that, I mean elder at our church in the future, not elder somewhere else.
Oh, got you. Wow.
You know, because I don't want anyone to get confused. But that's how rumors get started. But you know what it is.
Did you listen to Sean's podcast? No.
You're like, something he ain't telling us. Oh my gosh, here we go. Here we go. Right, the Lord ain't the author of confusion. It's the sound confused.
Go to your pastor. You
know, gosh. I appreciate is there was a moment with our website where I was like, I don't want to put my page, my picture. It was a good picture that one of our students took with a decent camera on our students' page. And my family pastor rebuked me with so much love, which was, hey brother. With so much love, which he was like, hey, I know why you're saying that. And man, I respect your humility. We love that about you. But you are the guy who we have hired and who we trust to lead. They may need to know what you look like. And I was like, good point. He was like, so if it wasn't you, who else would we put there? He's like, and this is literally just a section like, if you have questions, reach out to Shoddy Shot. And I was like, I'd be like, we don't need a picture there though. You know, I'm already on the staff page. And he's like, no, you're not catching it. They're gonna want to connect the face to name. They're not gonna always go to the staff page. I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's
a good point. It was like, in your effort to be humble, you are now overthinking a very simple situation. And I was like, okay, I take the feedback. Cool. And that was a moment where I just needed somebody to know me well enough to know my heart, but also speak into my life well enough to understand the mission and get me lined up where I needed to be lined up. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Ooh. So, I mean, this touches even in the topic of leadership above us, like the respecting authority.
Yeah.
Spiritual authority. Does that make sense? And so I've been learning that a lot since last year. Like it's a whole change because you do have to be like, you know what? I respect you and respect your guidance as well. And learning how to submit not just to them, but submitting to them through Christ. Does that make sense? And then that also taught me, hey, this is probably what you're going to be doing in marriage. Hey, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh.
There you go. So you get but, get out of my head. Get out of my head. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
But I'm just like, wow. But it's such a beautiful thing because at the end of the day, it's really teaching you how to submit to the Lord. That's you know? And so that's why I love it so much because I'm just like, man, like, you know, sometimes you want to fight.
That's it. That's it.
And you want to put up your
you box
your
with the Lord?
Yeah.
You're going to box with God. Okay. Okay. That's on you.
Right. Exactly. And the great thing about being under God's umbrella, us as a body in Christ, is that if either one of us is wrong, like say, for instance, the leader is wrong or, you know, we individually are wrong, God will correct us.
That's it.
When it needs, he needs to correct us, you know. So there could be a time where, hey, maybe your leader might come back to you and say, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I don't know, just about whatever has happened.
Yeah, and there's been times
God,
like that.
God, yeah, God spoke to me. He told me how, your heart and what you were really trying to say in the midst of that, blah, blah, blah. And it could be a time where, you know, it's me and I have to go to my... to my pastor or, you know, the pastor's wife.
Eat that humble pie. Yes, don't nobody like eating the crow.
Right.
So I know you had a good point. I still stand by what I said. I really, it was the how I said it.
It's how I said it, but my message was.
Well, my message, that was from God. I don't care what you say. That was, The Lord be like, was it? You're like, nah, it wasn't from him.
Nah.
I'm sorry.
It was from my fleshhood, the hood side of the south side of me. You're right.
You know, I'm half hood, I'm half holy. That's what people tell me. I don't know. You know.
Right. And we can't even be that. Oh, you know, God. Like, God, like, either you're going to be hood, either you're going to be holy. Which one you going to do? You like,
which one you going to be? You're like, can I be
a little kingdom? Right.
That's all I need to know. Can I be hood when necessary? Can I, you know, when absolutely necessary, can I let them know I'm not the one?
Right.
And he's like, just let them know I'm not the one. Oh.
Right.
That's gonna take
too
long. That's going to take
too long. I'm usually hood with the enemy now. That's when I get
with the enemy.
Like,
I need him to I need to remind him of who you are, not me.
Right. Come on.
So on that note, though. So is there a moment in which we tie our own spiritual life a little too closely to what we like to our pastor's spiritual life? Meaning like, are there moments in which we may not know that we've kind of become like a symbiote? I'm gonna channel my inner Spider-Man right now. We become a symbiote, kind of like leeching, and not intentionally or maliciously, our spiritual life to our pastor's spiritual life or what he's bringing, as if like he doesn't struggle too.
Yeah. That's a tough topic right there. I'm not gonna lie to you, because. Let's be honest, and you know, you and me both have been in church for years, right?
Yep.
Your dad is a pastor, and my dad, pastor and missionary or whatnot. So it's just like I've seen a lot of definitely I've seen. Probably intentionally and unintentionally worshiping the pastor. And I'm like, let's not forget about Jesus.
That's it. That's
Let's not forget about him. And some pastors, you know, don't want that part. And they try to continuously gear them toward Christ. And pastors accept it. And they're yep, that's me. You know, and it's like, whoa,
I am the chief elder. And you're like, wait, chief? Oh, Lord Jesus. No. He's trying to sit at the head of the table, hold Lord.
Do not. And you said it at the beginning of the pod when you said under shepherd.
Under shepherd.
Under shepherd.
Yep.
And that's exactly where I do believe all pastors should realize and know for a fact.
Yeah.
And I do believe that most of them come in knowing that. But when you get into like a mega church and it's like a consistency of, wow, that was an amazing sermon. You did an amazing job. And then you can't even get their head through the door type deal, unfortunately. You know, and then it can kind of get into your head. And then before you know it, unintentionally, you're like, I really like this, but don't even know that you're almost misguiding the people.
That's it. You're misleading them. You're drawing the attention away from Christ and drawing it to yourself, even if it's unintentional. And I wholeheartedly, some folks may think I'm being too graceful with that. I wholeheartedly believe that most shepherds that pursue ministry do not start that in that space. And I had this discussion with, what was it? I had this discussion with a pastor that I know and I'm pretty close to, that's even on the majority side. Like, you know, both of us are African-American, if you haven't caught on from how we talk. But on his side, they kind of showed me some of the distinctions, and they struggled with the fact that, like, some pastors that they know of would have, like, the nicest car. You know, not because they have a broke car, but I was like, man, there's a cultural piece that's missing, which, hey, the pastor is sometimes put in a pedestal as if he is a reflection of God and the church. And so the struggle bus you run into is if you are used to hearing people boost what you are saying, that one or two things have happened. Either you have never given a sermon that's been confrontational enough to make people reflect how they are aligning with the word, or you don't have people around you to speak in truth, because there's no way you batting 1,000 every time. There's no way. And my thing is, I would always, if I move into the realm of a pastor, desire for folks to tell me the truth. If what I said from a pulpit or even in a small group is unbiblical, I need you to tell me, because that is a moment in which I can be humble and vulnerable and say, hey guys, I want to repent to you guys, because what I brought to you was out of context. Which is probably, if anything, it would be, that would be maybe the closest thing I can see for me personally. But I think it's just a natural tendency when you have a leader to try to align your values or your walk to that leader, because they're leading you. But you have to remember who's leading them.
Right. And I try to, that's why anytime I'm leading anybody or, you know, like I said, giving some type of guidance, advice, or my own opinion, I say, hey, just know, like, say, for instance, like, oh, my gosh, like, thank you so much. You really touched my heart with those words. Like, you knew really what to say. I said, oh, well, it's God. Like, the only thing that has happened here is that God knocked on, called one of his children, one of his daughters, to hit another one of his daughters up. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
but it. I do not want to take any type of, you said what now?
Glory.
Glory. Yeah, I don't want to take the glory. And I pray to God daily. I'm like, God, you know, make sure I'm consistently, humbly in the places I need to be humbled, because it can be hard to be, you know, in a mega church. I'm just saying, like, say, for instance, a pastor's in a mega church.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it's like, oh, my gosh, I have all these things and big cars and big house. And let me honestly be truthful as well and transparent. I don't see anything wrong in them having a nice car or a nice home, because I feel like it's a blessing. Because what if they started from zero? And now they're, you know what I'm saying? I do believe that God blesses his children, right? But when it's to the point where the church doesn't have any money.
That's different. That's wild.
But all the money is on your fingertips. Like, wait a minute.
It's like
nobody knows where the money's going. You know, that type of deal. Like, no, sir.
That's when you're in a space where there's no accountability, you know? And I think that is the job of the body, to also hold the elders accountable. And that's why I love the denomination that, you know, I'm in right now, the belief in a plurality of elders. It's hard for that to happen when you have more than one elder and they made decisions together, you know?
Yeah, but also,
I think what you're speaking to, I think that even sometimes happens in a smaller church, right?
Where
if you are serving and living life with these folks and helping paying bills and, you know, being with them when their parents pass or they, you know, go through the loss of a child, it is easy to depend on this person spiritually more than we depend on God. And God is very clear that there is no person that takes up the altar of our hearts than him.
That's why
the people of Israel struggle so much, because he said, hey, I am a jealous God. No name comes before my name, right? Including your pastor, right? I think any pastor that's wise will know how to shift that glory back to God, not in a false humility. Like, one of the things I struggle with because of my upbringing, I don't do good with compliments, y'all. And so I had to learn how to take compliments because they made me nervous. And so, And most people who are getting to know me or know me don't really catch it, but I never do well with it. One, because I'm my own worst enemy. And then two, I never want to get tied to compliments.
So that
I now feel like I did a horrible job if I don't receive any. I'm almost more comfortable with criticism than compliments. And so one of my mentors in that council that I've been telling you guys about told me, hey, man, one, it's okay to take a compliment. What I would suggest you start doing moving forward is just when you receive a compliment, just simply say, oh, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Because I wouldn't even know how to respond back. And I would feel bad for the person giving me the compliment because I wouldn't want them to feel unheard.
You'd be like, it's not true, take it back.
You'd be like, and what? They'd be like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, what are you going through right now? And I'd be like, you don't know me like that. You don't know I was off key. I missed three chords. And they like, bro, what you going through? He's like, sir,
calm down.
Sir, we're gonna put you on the prayer list for this week. We don't know what you're going through.
Okay,
but we believe in God.
The back room.
Oh my gosh. But
oh man.
So we're gonna land the plane in a sense on this last question. How can we take our pastors off of the pedestal and put them on the stump of just being a servant? So sometimes we put them on a pedestal of being a savior, whether we realize it or not, a functional savior. How can we place them onto the stump of being a servant to the kingdom?
Man, I think it's really, from my personal experience, I'll say this, is that it's like when you begin to see how powerful and almighty and like glorious God is, you're like, why? Then you begin to see how everybody's a human being. Everybody is here on earth and they're a human being. They're just like me. In other words, that's what I'm really trying to say. They're just like me. They go through life situations just like me. I don't care who you are. You can be the most famous person in this world. You still gonna have something going on internally or outwardly, whatever the case might be, that you're having to deal with. And so just realizing that they are also a child of God and not God. And so that's one of the biggest things that I've learned. And so if anything were to happen, like, say, for instance, this is a pastor. I mean, it's not funny. But there was a situation where this guy was preaching, And everybody was complimenting him about his sermon afterwards. And, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And then one particular guy came up to him and said, hey, that was a great sermon. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and I've heard that sermon before.
Oh, shoot.
And it's right. He was like, and that was my pastor's sermon. Ooh, and so you stole that entire sermon from my pastor. And I was like, oh my God.
What do we do now, Lord?
Yeah. And so it's just like certain decisions, it might not be adultery or something crazy, but pastors still make mistakes as well. You know, and they also have the flesh as well, and they're still growing and learning. Even as a pastor, like you That's have it. To even learn how to have your own church
That's it.
And how to deal with people at your church. Let's be honest. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Lead yourself as the first key. Believe other people. You need the Lord. That's it. That's all you can do. Like, what are you mad with me about today? Help me understand why you thought I was Jesus. I am not. I am. Yeah. I am Peter.
Yeah. You know? And they get.
I am Peter.
But yes, I'm going to cut your ear off if you don't back up.
You don't back up, man. I'm going to have to hit you with these hands. I just need you to know you got to chill.
But they deal with their emotions as, I mean, like anger, you know, whatever might hit them in that moment where they have to remove themselves, think about it, pray on it, and then go talk to that person again. You may not know that they had a whole conversation with God, boo-hooed their eyes out before they came and spoke to you and said, hey, I now can receive your apology, or I now can forgive you, or whatever the topic might be. Yep. But yeah, it's. So
I think you're nailing it when we can remember the human side.
Right.
As well as the way the Lord uses them divinely, right? We're able to give grace, right? Yeah. I think when we put our pastors in the space of a functional savior, we put them on this pedestal comparable, really, if we're honest, to Jesus, we set them up to fail.
Wow.
When we are able to show them the same grace that was given to us, right, then we are able to walk alongside them as we walk alongside God to reconcile the earth back into himself. He gives us the opportunity and the privilege to do that. He can do it without us, and he can do it without the pastor. And that is why when we see a pastor lead and disciple well, and the Lord calls him on either to be with him or to go to another church, when we see him lead well, there's always a ram in the bush, for lack of better terms. And so one of the scriptures, and we can kind of land the plane on that, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And he's basically saying, hey, I work harder than any of the other disciples, right? But he attributes that not to himself, not even to brag. He attributes that to the grace of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me.
Wow.
I think when we allow our pastors, when we allow our pastors to bleed sometimes and just be human, lead well, but be human. And we're reminded about the fact that it's not them. It's the grace of God in them. To equip him and lead his people.
You know, and just like also knowing that they're human, not because I do believe when we do put them on that pedestal, a lot of times, if like you said, if they mess up, like we're already putting them in the place of failure. Exactly. But a lot of times that's where church hurt comes from. That's where people leave the faith. because of that, leave their Christian walk because of that. And it's like, hey, hello, like you should have been focused and not downing anybody, but I'm saying we as believers should be focused on Christ, not solely on the pastor. That's he is in leadership and he should be guiding us down the right path.
And he's even held accountable for that.
Yes, but he should be held accountable. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm just saying he's also held accountable for what he teaches, but at the same time frame, he's human.
Yes, exactly. So just being in church for so long and seeing some of the walks of faith leaving their relationship with Christ because of a pastor, I'm like, that shouldn't be the reason why you leave Christ or the church. Maybe go find another church if they continue with the same pastor that keeps on doing it over and over and over again. Okay, I get that part. But leaving church overall, like just slam, just cold turkey and nothing to do with Christ ever again, I don't think you should base it off of that solely one pastor in your relationship with Christ either.
And I think the way that I look at that is there's a text, and like I told you guys in the beginning, I am not the supreme scripture memorization guy. That's not me. But there's a text that says that Paul is telling those who follow him, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think that should be the goal, one of any pastor. And I think all of the pastor mentors and counsel that I have would agree, as well as that should be the goal of any member going into covenant with a pastor. And I think on that note, kind of land the plane right there. Morgana, as usual, love having you on here. I know our conversation is always on point. And I think this is going to be a good one. Got anything else to say before we leave the folks?
No, I just hope, you know, for those who are like pastor's kids, missionary kids, like they also hear this if they have strayed away, or anybody that has strayed away from the church or their relationship with Christ, you know, I do want you to know that he's calling you back. And he loves you, and he wants the best, your best at heart, for sure.
That's it. All right. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. All right.
So, as the pod comes to a close, remember, if this podcast episode or podcast as a whole has been a blessing to you in your personal life and just help to open your mind and give you some revelation from the Lord about some different things, hey, do me a big favor. Like, share, follow, and subscribe to this podcast. If you do that, that helps us to get the word out about what the Lord is kind of letting us know from a standpoint of his word and just experience, so that we can share that with other people. If you don't mind taking a few minutes just to like, share, subscribe, and follow this podcast, man, it'll be a big help. And then also, if you want some additional content or you want some awareness as to when the next episode is going to come out, join our Instagram community at Real God, the number 4, Real People. And it is called Preacher Man S. You can find it on Instagram. And just help us to get the word out and kind of build this community of real people trying to pursue God in their everyday community. Man, I can't wait to chat about next week's pod and talk to you guys soon.